Hello and welcome once again. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com, and we are now in the book of Revelation, or I should say, we're still in the book of Revelation. We're on chapter 11, and in this study, we'll cover verses 7 through 10. I'll first read those four verses, then we'll go into a short introduction. And then we'll take each verse one by one, and then we'll end with a summary and conclusion. So let's begin by reading the four verses, starting at verse 7. And when they, that is the two witnesses, shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwelt upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. In our last study, we saw the two witnesses, that is the elect, prophesy during the church age from Pentecost in 33 AD to May 21, 1988. In this study of Revelation 11, verses 7 through 10, we will see the two witnesses, that is the elect, killed in the church during the spiritual great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to spiritual judgment day on May 21, 2011. At the beginning of this great tribulation, Satan was loosed from the bottomless pit to make war against the elect, and he overcame them and killed them in the churches all over the world. As we will discover, Satan did not physically kill the elect, but he spiritually killed them by silencing their testimonies and ministries in the church. Thus, the bodies of the elect were still in the churches for some years, but it was as if their bodies were dead because their bodies were not permitted to testify or minister to the truth. So, it is said that their dead bodies laid in the street of the great city, that is, in the churches, which spiritually are called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, because they had become so spiritually evil and ruled over by Satan, even as Jerusalem had become so evil in 33 AD when the Jews crucified our Lord, Jesus Christ. Then we are told that they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations worldwide saw the elect's dead bodies in the churches for 3.5 days, and they did not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. In regards to this, we will find that they saw the elect's dead bodies for 3.5 days means that they saw them for the duration of the spiritual great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And the reason they did not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves is because they were not actually physically dead, but only spiritually dead in that they could no longer testify and minister to the truth in the churches. Finally, we are told that they that dwell upon the earth rejoiced over them and made merry and sent gifts one to another because these two prophets, that's the elect, tormented them that dwelt on the earth. We will learn that what this meant is that because the elect had been silenced or spiritually killed, and so were no longer able to bring the true gospel in and through all the churches, the peoples of the earth rejoiced over them and made merry and sent gifts to each other, in that the peoples of the earth were no longer being tormented by the elect's gospel message that ran contrary to their beliefs. Also, we will find that the gifts that they sent to one another were their false gospels and beliefs. But let's take a look at each verse one by one in more detail. I'm going to read verse 7 again before I discuss that. And it reads, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." In this verse, we first read, "And when they shall have finished their testimony." The "they" in this sentence refers to the two witnesses. Thus, our verse is saying, "And when they," that is the two witnesses, "shall have finished their testimony." And what was their testimony? Why, it was the church's testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and the word of God during the church age, from Pentecost on May 22 of 33 AD to Pentecost on May 22 of 1988, when the testimony of the two witnesses, that is the church, came to an end, and the spiritual great tribulation of judgment came upon all the Christian churches as judgment against them. For as we read in 2 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Now, we are told that there would come a time when the two witnesses, that is the church, would finish their testimony. According to the biblical timeline, this took place at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988. And the two witnesses, that is the church, or the elect, then finished their testimony to the world, because it was at that time when Christ removed himself from the church so that the man of sin, the son of perdition, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, all different names for Satan, could fully take over rule in all the churches as judgment against them for their sins. We learn about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we read in verses 3 through 12, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," and that's the final day of the Lord, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way," or out of the midst is a better translation. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose working is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Notice that this passage teaches that there would come a time when the man of sin, who by the way is not a man but Satan himself, as you will discover by clicking on and then reading who is the Antichrist. Yes, there would come a time when Satan is revealed as God, sitting in the temple of God, and to be sitting in the temple of God means that there would come a time when Satan is sitting or ruling in the corporate church, the temple of God, which includes all the Christian churches around the world. But according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 8, Satan could not begin to rule over all the churches until he be taken out of the way or out of the midst. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, who is Satan, as ruling in all the churches. But who is the he which must be taken out of the way before Satan can rule in all the churches? Why, he's God, the Holy Spirit. For he ruled all the Christian churches until he took himself out of the way or out of the midst of all the churches, so that the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, namely Satan, could begin to rule in all the churches instead of Christ. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. 2 Peter 4:17. And, according to the biblical timeline, this time began at the end of the church age, on May 21, 1988, when God the Holy Spirit took himself out of the midst of all the churches to end the church age, so that the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, namely Satan himself, could then begin to rule in all the churches to bring God's great tribulation of judgment upon them by false prophets with signs and wonders, false gospels and false teachings. They all in the churches, except for the elect, who have long since departed out from the churches, have been fed a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, and that's verses 11 through 12. But now, continuing with verse 7 of Revelation 11, we are told that when the two witnesses, that is the church or the elect, have finished their testimony, which we now know to have been on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical timeline that you can click on to see, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Of course, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit to make war against the church on May 21, 1988 was Satan himself. He had been seeding all the Christian churches with unsaved people for centuries, but he never was able to completely rule over the churches because he was restrained by God, the Holy Spirit, who did rule over all the churches. But when May 21, 1988 came, God removed himself from ruling the churches so that Satan, also known as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, could begin to rule all the Christian churches as God's judgment against them and use all the unsaved people in the churches to spiritually destroy the churches by false prophets, false gospels, and false teachings, and in some cases even showing signs and wonders and so-called miracles to deceive the elect if that were possible. If you were around from about 1988 through the 90s and on, you would have clearly seen the rise of these false gospels with their so-called miracles of healing, along with signs and wonders like being slain in the spirit and supposedly even getting direct messages from God in dreams and visions and tongues and voices, prophecies, words of knowledge and the like. Indeed, it was all enough to deceive the naive. Yet not only did Satan make war against and overcome the church, the elect, with false gospels and false teachings, beginning on May 21, 1988, we are also told that he killed them. This does not mean that Satan physically killed the elect in all the churches, but he spiritually killed them. We begin to understand what it means to be spiritually killed in John chapter 16, verse 2, which reads, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service." Notice how in this verse that God seems to equate being cast out of the synagogues with being killed. Listen carefully once again. We read, "They shall put you out of the synagogues." Yeah, and then what follows explains what that means. Yes, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service. Do you see how that to be cast out of the synagogues, or we could say churches, is the same as being killed? Thus, when we are taught that Satan killed the two witnesses, that is the church or the elect, he killed them not by physically killing them, but rather by casting them from the church. And this did not need to be by physically casting them from the church, as some were, but it could be by spiritually casting them from the church, by silencing them in the church. That is, for instance, if the church looks down upon, ignores, or treats a person as a false prophet so that their testimony is silenced in the church, it is as if that person has been cast out from the church. This is how the elect were primarily killed by Satan in all the churches. They were considered to be false prophets in the church, and so they were silenced by ignoring them, by removing them from leader and teacher positions in the church, by looking down upon them, by not allowing them to testify or use their spiritual gifts, and in some cases even physically casting them from the church. I myself, for example, was cast out from a church that ran a Christian school. Not only was I cast out from that church, but I was fired from being a teacher in their Christian school from which I earned my living. It was a most difficult time because there I was with 5 kids at the time with no means by which to feed my family. May the Lord remember the trouble they caused me. So, my point is that beginning on May 21, 1988, Satan began to kill the two witnesses, that is the church or the elect, by silencing their Christian ministries in the church. It was as if they had been cast out from the church, or they actually were cast out from the church, and so spiritually killed. Because God, the Holy Spirit, took himself out from all the churches, beginning on May 21, 1988, as we have said, the churches were killed in that they could no longer truly save people through their ministries in and through. Let me read that one more time. The churches were killed in that they could no longer truly save people through their ministries and through the church, because they were now all dead churches without God. And the remnant of the elect still in those churches were then spiritually killed by being silenced in some way. Indeed, Satan waged war against them and overcame them. We read more about Satan waging war against and overcoming God's people, that is the church or the elect, during the spiritual great tribulation from May 21, 1988, to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, in Daniel chapter 8, where Satan is represented as the little horn. There we read in verses 9 through 12, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn," that is Satan, "which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land," that is Israel, which typifies the church, "and it waxed great even to the host of heaven," that is the elect, "and it cast down some," that is some is not, that word some is actually not in the Hebrew, so "it cast down of the host" is a better translation, and of the stars, which represent the elect, to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yes, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, that is Christ, and by him the daily sacrifice. That word sacrifice is not in the Hebrew. It just says, and by him the daily, and the daily refers to the daily candlelight, which represents the light of the gospel. The daily was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary, that is the church, was cast down. And an host, that is the unsaved so-called Christians and fallen angels, was given him against the daily, that is the daily candlelight, the gospel, by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And we read more about this little horn in Daniel 7, where we read in verse 25, and he, that is the little horn, Satan, shall speak great words, and great words refers to the words of the Bible, against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, such as, for example, the false teaching of a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth yet to come, the false teachings of divorce and remarriage, the false teachings that allow for women pastors and teachers of adults in the church, and many other false things. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. We also read more about Satan waging war and overcoming and killing God's people, that is the church or the elect, during the great tribulation in Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25, where Satan is called a king of fierce countenance. There we read in verses 23 and 20 through 25, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, that's Satan, and understanding dark sentences, that's understanding the hidden truths of the Bible, shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, that is by false gospels of peace, that's what peace spiritually refers to in the Bible. By peace he shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that is Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. Well, before we move on to our next verse 8 of Revelation chapter 11, I want to say one more thing. It is important to realize that when God's people finished their testimony, as described in our verse, could not be referring to May 21, 2011, as some believe. This is because, according to our verse, it was not on May 21, 2011, when the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit, but it was on May 21, 1988, when this took place. In fact, on May 21, 2011, Satan was not coming up from the pit, but he was actually put down. We see a type of this in the 70-year tribulation of Judah from 609 BC to 539 BC, which was a type of the final great tribulation. On the very last day of this tribulation, the king of Babylon was slain, Daniel 5 verse 30. Likewise, on the very last day of the final tribulation, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, Satan was put down. So, May 21, 2011 could not have been a time when Satan overcame and killed the people of God. But it had to have been on May 21, 1988, because this is when we are told that Satan ascended from the bottomless pit. Okay, let's move on to verse 8 of our study. It reads, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Now, as previously mentioned, according to the biblical timeline that you can click on to see, beginning at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, the beast, Satan, was set free by God to ascend out of the bottomless pit to bring the spiritual great tribulation of judgment upon all the churches. The two witnesses, that is the elect in these churches, were spiritually killed in the sense that they were silenced in a variety of ways in their testimonies and ministries. Some were even thrown out of the churches because their teachings were more and more in opposition to the teachings being propounded by the church, the false teachings being propounded by the churches as a whole. So for a period of time, before the elect obeyed Christ and left all the churches, God's two witnesses, the elect, though spiritually killed in their various churches, were still in their churches for some years while the beast, Satan, was bringing in his false gospels, false prophets, and false teachings to trod down the temple of God, that is the church or the elect, and to trod them down by the nations or Gentiles, or we could say by the unsaved so-called Christians that were in the churches at that time. This is what it means that their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. The great city is Jerusalem, that is the eternal church. And the street of Jerusalem in these verses refers to all the local churches and congregations in which the elect normally gathered all over the world. It was in all these churches where God's two witnesses, the elect, were spiritually killed. That is, their testimonies and ministries were silenced. And their dead bodies are said to lie in all these local churches and congregations, that is, in the street of Jerusalem, because they were no longer able to bring forth the true Word of God in them. So it is as if they were physically dead, although they were not. Hence, their dead bodies are said to lie in the street of the great city, Jerusalem, that is, in their various churches. Yes, the true Word of God was being changed and twisted by false prophets and teachers in the churches. But the elect could do nothing about it as their testimonies and ministries were silenced in all the churches by the false Christians who were taking over all the churches at the command of the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, namely Satan himself, who had been granted rulership over all the churches as judgment against them. I think for more information on this, you can click on the link 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 11, The Man of Sin. The false Christians in the churches, who were many, never saw God's judgment coming, for God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 through 12. But now, why is the street of the great city, that is Jerusalem, which, as we already stated, refers to all the local churches and congregations worldwide, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt? Why, this is because that by May 21, 1988, when God left the churches and Satan began to rule in them, they were spiritually as evil as Sodom and Egypt, and have remained so even to this day. Indeed, Sodom was full of immorality and homosexuality, and you can see that on Genesis 13, verse 13, or Genesis 19, verses 4 through 7. So to have spiritually become as Sodom was to have become spiritually wicked to the core. Egypt, on the other hand, was a place of bondage to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. So to have become as Egypt was to have come under bondage to Satan, who was typified by Pharaoh. The churches, therefore, have become a place of terrible evil and a place of bondage to Satan himself. Do you see why the churches of our day are one of the spiritually worst places you can be? Finally, to complete our verse, that is to complete verse 8, we are told that in the street of the great city, Jerusalem, is where our Lord was crucified. This, of course, on the one hand, refers to Jesus having been crucified in the street just outside the physical Jerusalem in 33 AD. But on the other hand, it also refers to Jesus having been spiritually crucified in all the Christian churches worldwide, beginning on May 21, 1988, when he and his elect began to be spiritually killed, that is, silenced from bringing the whole Word of God in the church. No, rather, all the churches wanted the twisted, distorted, sugar-coated, and incomplete or added to version of God's Word so that the true Word of God, Jesus Christ, and His elect were spiritually killed by silencing them. They were looked down upon, treated badly, spoken against, and considered to be false prophets, so that their testimony and ministry in the church were silenced in one way or another. Indeed, spiritually speaking, they were, in a sense, crucified. Let's move on to verse 9 of chapter 11, of Revelation chapter 11, and read that verse. It reads, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." First of all, notice that there are four groupings: people, kindreds, tongues, and nations. This places emphasis on the number four, which carries the meaning of universality or worldwideness. And you can click on the Bible link, the Bible number four link, to see this. So God is saying that the people and kindreds and tongues and nations throughout the whole world shall see the dead bodies of the two witnesses, that is the elect, lying in the street of the great city Jerusalem, that is in the Christian churches worldwide. Yes, Satan's takeover of the churches beginning on May 21, 1988 was a worldwide happening. And God's people were spiritually killed in the churches because, first of all, they no longer were commissioned through the church to bring the gospel to the whole world, as their commissioner, Christ himself, had departed out from the church on May 21, 1988. And second of all, the elect were separated from therein by being shunned, ignored, looked down upon, considered to be false prophets, and so silenced, or, as I said before, even asked or forced to leave the church. But God's people were not physically killed, and this is why it could be said that their dead bodies were not allowed to be put in graves. Yes, the elect were spiritually killed so that their bodies could no longer give testimonies to and minister the truth in the churches, but they were not physically killed, which is why it is said that the peoples all over the world who saw their dead bodies in the churches did not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. For the elect were not physically dead, but only spiritually dead. And like I've said, that is, they were silenced from testifying and ministering the truth that God's judgment had come upon the church for changing His law. Now, we are next told that the people throughout the world shall see the two witnesses, that is, the elect's dead bodies in the churches, 3.5 days. Does this mean that they saw their dead bodies for just 3.5 literal days? I think not. Just as the words in the book of Revelation are symbolic, so are the numbers, because after all, numbers are just words. Well, then, what are the 3.5 days symbolic of? Well, since the 3.5 days represent that period of time wherein the two witnesses, that is the elect, were spiritually killed, and when their bodies were seen lying in the churches, that 3.5 days must symbolize the period on the biblical timeline known as the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988, when the elect began to be killed, to May 21, 2011, when Spiritual Judgment Day began on the whole world. Why? Because May 21, 1988 is when the two witnesses, that is the elect, were first killed, and so their bodies lay dead in the churches, and this continued through most, if not all, the Great Tribulation, when there were yet elect found in the church. We have confirmation that the 3.5 can symbolize the Great Tribulation period in other passages. For instance, remember that in speaking about the Great Tribulation period, Daniel says in Daniel 7, verse 25, "And he," that is the little horn, Satan, "shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they," that is the saints or the elect, "shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time." Thus we are told that the time period wherein the saints, who are the elect, would be given into the little horns, that is, Satan's hand, would be a time, times, and the dividing of time. And since a time is one, a times is two, and a dividing of time is one half, that is 1 + 2 + 1/2, which is the same as 3.5. So we can see that the elect would be given over to Satan during the Great Tribulation for 3.5 exactly. They'd be given over to Satan during the Great Tribulation for a period of 3.5, exactly the same number we already found to symbolize the Great Tribulation period. Again, we see the Great Tribulation period to be symbolized by the number 3.5 in Daniel 12, where we read in verse 7, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half," that's 3.5, "and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people." Thus, we have so far discovered two numbers that can symbolize the Great Tribulation period. They are the number 42 months that we learned in verse 2 of our previous study, and now the number 3.5 days. Later in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, we will find that the number 3.5 or 3.5 years can also refer to the entire church age, but we'll get more into that once we get to that point. But for now, let's cover our last verse of our study today, and that's verse 10. There we read, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them," that is, over the elect, "and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." Here we find that during the 2300 evening mornings symbolized by the 3.5 days from May 21, 1988 to September 7, 1994, we read that they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. the them who they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over and make merry and shall send gifts one to another are the two witnesses, that is the elect, who had been spiritually killed, that is silenced in the churches. They were no longer able to bring the true gospel and teachings through the churches. And this is why the people that dwelt upon the earth rejoiced and were merry and sent gifts one to another. It was because they no longer had to listen to the things which they hated, like that they were sinners who deserved death, and that the only way to be saved was through the atoning work of Jesus Christ by election, and that all who rejected the gospel or word of God would be cast into the lake of fire on the last day, and all the other things which are a part of the true gospel. In other words, because the elect had been silenced in the churches, those that dwelt upon the earth, including the unsaved so-called Christians in the churches, no longer had to be tormented or greatly bothered by the teachings of the elect. They could now believe all their false gospels and teachings without being hindered by the truth. So they could now send these gifts to one another, which means they could now share their false gospels and teachings with, in some cases, even signs and wonders, and gifts of healing with falling backward, and gifts of tongues, and gifts of prophesying, and false gifts of knowledge, and the like, without being bothered by the truth of the elect, while assuring one another that they were saved, or at least on the right path to salvation, even though they were not. Well, let's summarize and conclude our study today. In this study of Revelation 11, 7 through 10, we saw the two witnesses, that is the elect, killed in the church during the spiritual Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to Spiritual Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. At the beginning of this Great Tribulation, we learn that Satan was loosed from the bottomless pit to ascend and make war against the elect, and he overcame them and killed them in the churches all over the world. As we discovered, Satan did not physically kill them, but he spiritually killed them by silencing their testimonies and ministries in the church. Thus, the bodies of the elect were still in the churches for some years, but it was as if their bodies were dead, because their bodies were not permitted to testify or minister to the truth. So it was said that their dead bodies laid in the street of the great city, that is in all the churches, which spiritually are called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, because they had become so spiritually evil and ruled over by Satan, even as Jerusalem had become so evil in 33 AD when the Jews crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, ever since May 21, 1988, the churches became the kingdom of Babylon because Satan then began to rule them. Then we were told that they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations worldwide saw the elect's dead bodies in the churches for 3.5 days, and they did not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. In regards to this, we found that they saw the elect's dead bodies for 3.5 days meant that they saw them for the duration of the spiritual Great Tribulation. And the reason they did not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves is because they were not actually physically dead, but only spiritually dead, in that they could no longer testify and minister to the truth in and through the churches. Finally, we were told that they that dwell upon the earth rejoiced over the elect and made merry and sent gifts one to another because these two prophets, the elect, tormented them that dwelt on the earth. We learned that what this meant is that because the elect had been silenced or spiritually killed and so were no longer able to bring the truth in and through all the churches, the peoples of the earth rejoiced over them and made merry and sent gifts to each other, in that the peoples of the earth were no longer being tormented by the elect's truthful message that ran contrary to their beliefs. Also, we found that the gifts that they sent to one another were their false gospels, teachings, and beliefs. Now may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.